The throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we just trust that this is a message from you, and we pray that your blessings will be upon the delivery of this message, that all those present this evening will be blessed, edified by what is said. And if there is anyone in our midst who does not know Jesus as his Savior and Lord, that this will be the evening in which he'll make that all-important decision to become a believer in your Son. We humbly ask in Jesus' name, amen. For those who have their Bibles with them, we're going into the Old Testament. The Old Testament. 1 Kings. First Kings, the 12th chapter, starting at the first verse. And we're going to read. When you find it, please say amen. 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, as in the 12 tribes of Israel, as in the 12 apostles. And we're going to start from the very beginning, okay? All right, very good. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father, Solomon, made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who has spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsels that they gave him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and sanctify it deep down in our hearts. And my thought this evening is good counsel, bad counsel. Good counsel, bad counsel. And the Bible tells us a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Whenever there's a serious matter, we look to advice, counselors, to advise us. For instance, if you have problems with your landlord, your apartment, your living situation, you don't know what to do, you go to a lawyer. My husband and I, that's what we had to do when we were having problems with one of our landlords. And if you have trouble with the law, whether you're guilty or innocent, but when you get in trouble with the law, you try to get legal advice, good counsel. The same is true if you're purchasing an expensive product, a car, maybe stereo equipment, camera. I know whenever my husband looks for photography equipment, he just doesn't buy it. He first reads Consumer Reports, the photography magazines. So he's looking for advice from different ones, good counsel, bad counsel. If you have a medical problem, you go to a doctor. You don't go to the shoe shine man. You don't go to someone who works for MTA, but you go to a doctor for advice. So when something is really, really serious, especially, we're looking for advice. And there's always somebody to give you advice, good counsel, bad counsel. Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon. And when King Solomon died, he was crowned king. And as the Bible teaches, there were 12 tribes in the nation of Israel. And 10 of these tribes, the leaders representing 10 of these tribes, came to King Rehoboam to ask for mercy, to ask that these heavy taxes be lifted. And that's when King Rehoboam, he was young, he decided, well, before I answer you, let me get some advice. He went to the old men, the elders who served with King Solomon, for their advice, who told him, look, if you lift these taxes, if you speak gently to them, they're going to be devoted to you for the rest of your reign. But then he went to his young friends, guys he was raised with, and asked their advice. And they, being hot-headed whippersnappers, saying, look, you tell them, hey, you haven't seen nothing yet. You thought my daddy was harsh. I'm really going to lay it on you. But because King Rehoboam listened to bad counsel, he lost his kingdom. The 10 tribes rebelled and left him, and that's when Israel became divided. But King Rehoboam, he had good counsel and he had bad counsel. But he made the choice to listen to the bad counsel. And as a result, he lost part of his kingdom. Eve, the mother of all living, Adam's wife, she was told by God Almighty not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But here comes this strange creature giving bad advice. Go on, partake of this forbidden fruit. And she did. And it caused her and her husband to be evicted from paradise, from the Garden of Eden. listening to bad counsel caused Adam and Eve to lose paradise. Perhaps some of you movie buffs remember an actress. She was really famous in the 50s and early 60s, Dorothy Dandridge. And she was a black actress. And her most famous role was Carmen Jones. And she even got a nomination for an Academy Award, which was the first that a black female was nominated for Best Actress. Not supporting, but Best Actress. Okay, because Hayley McDaniels won for Supporting Actress. All right, you're listening. But now, David Selznick of 20th Century Fox came to Dorothy and said, look, I can make you a big, big star. But the American people, they're not quite ready to accept a black female as a leading star. However, if you allow me to guide your career, I will make you a big star. And he wanted her to take a supporting role in the movie The King and I with Deborah Carr and Yul Brynner. So at that time, she was going with this director named Otto Preminger. And so she went to Otto, he was her friend, and she asked him, well, what do you think? Should I take this supporting role? And he says, look, you just got nominated for Best Actress and now you're gonna step down and take some supporting role? So she listened to Otto, refused the part, refused David Selznick's help, and from that point on, her career went downhill, and only movie buffs will know her name. Because she listened to bad counsel, she lost her career. Good counsel, bad counsel. And as I was thinking about why did Dorothy listened to the director. Why did Eve listen to that serpent? Why did Rehoboam listen to those young men? Whenever you go to someone for advice, whenever you weigh out their counsel, you should also consider the source. Consider who they are. And do they have your best interests at heart? Do they know what they're talking about? Are they experienced? And even though Otto Preminger was her friend, to me it was a no-brainer. Whose advice am I going to listen to? The head of 20th Century Fox, who makes movies, who can cast you in movies, who can get you the publicity, or some director who's always looking for a new project? You would think that's a no-brainer, that she should have listened to the one who had the most power, the most influence. Always got to consider the source. Look at the character, the power that the people have who you're seeking advice from. And the same way with Eve. Why would Eve listen to this serpent? God Almighty was her creator, set her up real nice, put her in the garden. Things were beautiful. It wasn't a harsh life. And yet here comes this strange creature, and she's going to let this strange creature whet her curiosity. She's gonna listen to this strange creature who really has nothing to do with her life, influence her to disobey God. which caused her to lose out on paradise. And I think about children, teenagers, how they would so quickly disobey their parents. It's their parents who, from all natural point of view, brought them into this world, who gave them shelter, who took care of them, give them an allowance, clothing. But who do they turn around and listen to? These strange people who give them drugs, tell them to skip school. They listen to this bad counsel from people who haven't helped them, and when they get really in trouble, not going to help them. You probably know it for yourself. When they end up in jail, they're not calling their best friend for help, but they're calling mommy, daddy, I'm in trouble. But this happens because people, they're choosing to listen to bad counsel instead of good counsel. They're choosing to listen even to those who don't care about them, who are strangers to them. And so is it true with Rehoboam. Rehoboam, he was wise that he sought advice, but he was foolish that he did not take the advice of the elders. He went with his young, hot-headed friends. Again, when you go to a lawyer, you want to go to a lawyer who has experience. You don't want to go to some lawyer who doesn't know what he's talking about, especially when you're facing time in prison. But here, perhaps Rehoboam didn't listen to the counsel of these elders because they're old. For some reason, young folks think old folks don't know what they're talking about. They think that everything they're doing is new. We were once 15 years old. We were once 25. We were once 36. So if anyone knows about life, it's the older folks, because we've done that, been there. And a lot of young people would avoid a lot of trouble, ditches, potholes, if they would listen to the good counsel coming from older people. But they're thinking, oh, you got grained hair, and you got wrinkled skin, and you don't know how it is. Of course we know how it is. We weren't born like this. But people think, oh, you old. And so they want to look to someone who's young, but inexperienced. So you always have to consider the source, the character, the experience of the person you're getting advice from. Good counsel, bad counsel. A career was lost. A kingdom was lost. Paradise was lost because people listened to bad counsel. And worse than that, souls are being lost and going to hell because people are listening to bad counsel. We have a free will, and we got to make decisions. We're responsible for the decisions that we make. We may try to blame God, blame our parents, blame society, Democrats, blame the Republicans, but in the end, we are responsible for the decision that we make. And we got to consider, who will we listen to? Because it will have an effect. Will we listen to good counsel, bad counsel? When it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to God, when it comes to morality, how we conduct our lives. Who will we listen to? There's a lot of advice out there. There's the Dalai Lamas. There's the Shirley MacLaines. There's the Deepak Chopras. There's the Muhammads. There's the Confucius. But you've got to decide. You've got to decide who you will listen to. And there is Jesus. There is Jesus Christ. And I submit that Jesus is the one everyone should listen to. Yes, 2,000 years old. But that in itself tells us he must be special. That he has endured the test of time. That over 2,000 years, people from all walks of lives have lived for Jesus. Has dedicated their lives for him. Doesn't that make him someone you think, well, he may be worthwhile listening to? It may be worth my while listening to this man? That for over 2,000 years, people have dedicated their lives to him? And that when people get serious about this Jesus following him, their lives improve? If they're shacking, they'll get married. If they're homosexual, they'll get straight. If they're on drugs, they get cleaned. Isn't that a reason to just consider the things that he got to say? He's the one who has the good counsel. He's the one who's changing lives, and not just for this generation, but for over 2,000 years. After 2,000 years, they still have not found any fault in Jesus Christ. And when they want to dig into your past, they dig. And for everybody except for Jesus Christ, there's a skeleton in the closet for everybody. Muhammad married an 8-year-old girl named Aisha when he was 53 years old. Skeleton in the closets. There's a skeleton in all our closets. Whether it's a Confucius, whether it's a Dalai Lama, whether it's a Mandela, whether it's a Martin Luther King Jr., when you read the history, you say, well, they weren't perfect. But Jesus Christ, no skeletons in his closet. Isn't that enough reason to listen to him, to think he must know what he's talking about? That after 2,000 years, they have found no fault in him, no dirt on his character? He was known to perform miracles. People still credit that he's a miracle worker. That religious leaders have been born and died, but only Jesus Christ is known for resurrection? Isn't he the superior one? He claimed to be from heaven. No one else claimed to be from heaven. And not only did he claim to be from heaven, he did what only the Lord of heaven can do. The wind and the waves, nature itself obeyed him. He had power to raise the dead. Good counsel, bad counsel. You have to decide who you will listen to. The choice is yours. Whatever decision you make, there is a consequence. There is a consequence. Psalms, the first chapter. Psalms, the first chapter says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You will be blessed when you don't listen to ungodly counsel, there's a lot of ungodly counsel. People telling you, well, it's all right to fornicate just as long as you use protection. That's ungodly counsel. You got a little problems in your marriage and someone is so quick to tell you, get a divorce. That's an ungodly counsel. You know you're on parole and your friends say, well, you can hang out with us anyway. But you know if you get picked up with them, you got to go back and serve the rest of your time. That's ungodly counsel. But you're blessed when you don't listen to this ungodly counsel. See, it's your life. It's true. And you got to make the decision who you will listen to. And the Bible tells us, Psalm 128 and 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way. That is the blessed life. Those who fear the Lord and walk in his way. Even though they may call you old-fashioned, a nerd, you're square, whatever the term is, you're not with it. But the blessed life is the life that's lived in accordance to God's word. That's the blessed life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But the devil, who he described as the thief, cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So you got to make a decision. When it comes to these spiritual matters, you got to make a decision. Jesus said, either you're for me or you are against me. There's no neutral ground. Either you're listening to Jesus, good advice, good counsel, or you're listening to the world's bad counsel. And just as Rehoboam lost part of his kingdom, Eve lost paradise, and Dorothy Dangerous lost a career listening to bad counsel, listening to the world will cause you to lose your soul in hell. Joshua said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. You got to make a choice. What will be your choice? Who will you listen to? The good counsel of Jesus Christ or the bad counsel of the world? Even your friends will tell you, you don't need to listen to that Jesus stuff. You're okay. That's bad counsel. That's bad counsel. And it will cause you to lose your soul in hell. But it's up to you. Jesus said, count the cost. Count the cost. And night after night here at Grace and Hope, we do beseech those who come to take heed to good counsel. To listen to the one who has your best interests at heart. To listen to the one who loved you so much that he died on the cross for your sin. And those who listen will be blessed in this life and in the life to come. Will there be one this evening who knows, I've been listening to bad advice and it shows, and it's time for me to listen to good advice? I've been listening to bad counsel and I've been losing all the way. It's time for me to listen to good counsel. Well, now you can come up to the altar and invite Jesus into your heart. Amen.
You know, every night we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it comes from the Bible. And so the bottom line is, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe what the Word of God says? Or do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? And people down through the ages and still today will say, well, the Bible was written by man. Well, of course it was written by man, but it was inspired by God. And that's why we call it the Holy Bible, because it is God's book to mankind. It's God's love letter to us. And the songwriter has said, I know the Bible is true. Is that the counsel that you believe, that when you don't know what someone is saying to you, do you go to the Bible to see if they're telling you the truth? If you believe the Bible is true, then anyone who counsels you and doesn't counsel you according to the whole counsel of God, then they aren't giving you good counsel. But we need to take caution in our lives, because it depends upon eternity, as you heard tonight. Listening to bad counsel is not going to hurt you just today, but it's going to hurt you forever. We're going to stand and sing this song. 233 in closing isn't a song we sing very often, but I don't think it's too hard to sing it. But I trust you'll pay attention to the words. And if you haven't as yet trusted the Lord, I trust you'll open up your heart to Him. Believe the Bible when it says that we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we shall be saved. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That our salvation comes from Jesus. 233. Together and sing the last. I know the Bible is wholly true, for peace it gave within. It finds me, comforts me day by day, and gives me victory for sin. Okay, let's sing the last verse. Sing the last verse together. No boasting, I witness faithful, the message all that's new. Whole lot better off if that's true in your life. If you know the Bible is true, then you'll know that Jesus Christ is real. And no matter what man writes about Jesus Christ, the Bible is the only true book about Jesus. And I know it's true, and I know that Jesus Christ has saved me and cleansed me, delivers me, and leads and guides me day by day. And He's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same for you if you'll just ask Him. Brother Solomon? Remember, the mission is closed until September 1st.
Praise the Lord. Our Lord Jesus said in the book of Matthew 24:24, he said, "Beware lest any man deceive you by vain deceit." The many people are being misled because of false teachings, of bad advice. Because the devil works on our flesh, our senses, to get us to go against God's holy command. So people get involved in a spiritual deception, a feel-good type of a gospel, they say. And they fall away from God through bad advice. But Jesus Christ came with good advice. My Heavenly Father, I pray that this message will touch the heart of an unbeliever, that they may come to be a believer in Christ for their salvation. Dismiss us, my Heavenly Father, with your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.